I've been praying over the last, you know this, number of years, couple, maybe 2 years now, just constantly. I don't mean every day, but a lot of days, just speaking and believing God. And actually, I've got some things written out. I pray oftentimes over the same thing for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come in a greater degree. It's just been in my heart. And there's some things that God wants to do along that line. And as I was praying about tonight, I became aware of the fact, again, I've known it before, but that there's doorways into some of these things, spiritual doors, you know what I mean? Just like there's doorways into rooms of this building and into this building, there's doorways into different places of the Spirit. and so, you know, it's not enough to just pray about these things. And we're going to get into some things that will help you. So if you're wondering, oh, where's he going? There's going to be a lot of help here for you tonight. But rather than just praying, we need to know how to get in some of these doors. You know, you can stand outside this building and pray that God would give you access into this building. Maybe you stand out there cold. You want some heat. Or you can just find the door. Amen. And so let's look at some of this tonight. Over in Ephesians chapter number 5, we see something that's interesting. I want to share from this verse here in verse 18 and 19. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 says, "Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We could say God doesn't want us drunk on alcohol. He wants us drunk on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Then he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice that, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then he also said, speaking to yourselves. So this is a instruction as believers. We're to, you know, be continually, you know, the Greek word for notice here in verse 18, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled. The be filled, you know, in the Greek, we've shared this many times, it means to be continually filled. And we know that's true from just, all you got to do is read Acts 19, and we know that when Paul got to Ephesus and founded this church, the first people that were there and that he got saved and founded the church through, it says very clearly that they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. So they were filled with the Spirit. This was a church that was founded on being Spirit-filled. Isn't that right? But he writes to them in this letter and says, be filled with the Spirit. Well, they were already initially filled. So he's not talking about what happened when they were initially filled, because they were already filled. He's talking about something in addition to what happened when they got filled with the Spirit. So that's why the Greek, we see it from the Greek, but we can even read it from the rest of the New Testament, Acts 19, for example. We can see that he's talking about just not the initial experience, but something that is ongoing. And these scriptures are written to us just as much as the church at Ephesus, and we're instructed to not just rely on the initial filling of the Spirit that we got when we were, maybe we got it after we were born again, but maybe we got it when we were born again, because it's a different experience than the, you know, salvation experience. But we either got it when we were saved, or we got it later, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and spoke with other tongues, and we were filled with the Spirit. But we're not to rely on that as the only thing God has for us as far as the Spirit's filling. If you read the first 4 or 5 chapters of the book of Acts, you see Peter was filled. It mentions 3 different times Peter was filled with the Spirit. Well, I got filled back in 1972. Wasn't that a glorious day? That ought not to be the most glorious day in the Spirit. There ought to be continual fillings. Amen. And so that's what he's talking about here. And he's telling us that to not just rely on yesterday's blessings. Say that out loud. God doesn't want me relying on yesterday's spiritual blessings. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, for a number of services, I think 2 Sundays, God's had me sharing on 2 or 3, whatever, been sharing on the tongue. And the Lord, I thought it was just going to be a series on confessions of faith. And we shared that this past Sunday. But before that, it had to do with just making sure what we're speaking is edifying, not being critical, speaking those kinds of things. Remember that service? Some of you, I can tell by looking at you, you need to go back and listen to that. I'm just kidding. But the series I thought was just going to be on faith. God's having me talk about the tongue in different aspects. And it's, the series is going totally different direction than what I thought. And tonight is going to be about yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost. Yielding, and the, what happens as a result of that. Because if we're told to control our tongue. Remember, he said we put bits in the horses' mouths that we make, and we make them obey us. And he said, so is the tongue. We need to control the tongue. He tells us in James 3, control the tongue. If we're to control our tongue, then how do we do it? Well, tonight we're going to look at another aspect of it, and that is we're to yield this tongue to the Holy Ghost. In other words, we're to live not just... we're not just to get filled with the Holy Ghost one time, but we're to live with a continual filling. And notice how Ephesians says we do it. Be not drunk with wine, verse 18, look down there. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? How many of you know he tells you how there? He doesn't just say do it, he says here's how. Here's how. Now, the initial filling of the Spirit, let me back up. The initial filling of the Spirit, you see it in Acts 2, you see it in I think it's five different places in the book of Acts. When people were initially filled with the Spirit, every time they spoke with other tongues. Now, you might have got born again and the Holy Spirit came into you, but that's different than being filled with the Spirit. Different experience. In fact, I could prove it to you in the Bible. Remember, there was one place where Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. They all gave heed to him. This is in the 8th chapter of Acts. They gave heed to him, hearing, seeing the miracles, which he did. And it says, many believed on Jesus. And then later it says, Peter and John, when they heard what happened down there in Samaria, they sent Peter and John down there and prayed for them that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So they got born again, but they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. People that say it's all one spirit experience, it's not all one experience. It's not all one experience. It can happen at the same time. In fact, it ought to. We ought to teach it so people get all at the same time. But right on the other hand, just because you got saved and the Holy Spirit came to live in you, because any born-again believers got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. This is all, we know these things, but there's people here that don't know these things. And so every Christian, every person that's born again, receives Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into their spirit. And so he resides on the inside of them. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Every born-again believer, whether they speak in tongues or not. They have the Holy Spirit, but they don't have the fullness of the Spirit. There's an additional work of the Spirit in every believer's life, and it's God's plan that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. It's not just God's plan for a few. Well, that's just some people's gift. No, we could prove. I don't have time to get into that because I got to share what the Lord put on my heart to share. But it's not for if you want some answers on some of that and you've been taught that in years past, come up and see us afterwards and we'll get you some answers. We got all sorts of books on that. We got people that can share scriptures with you and clear that up. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor there's a lot of folks need that cleared up. But we're saying that this additional filling of the Spirit, where the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost and somebody speaks in other tongues, is still not everything God has for us. That ought not be the greatest day of the things of the Spirit. He said here, be continually filled with the Spirit. Well, how am I going to do that? Same way you did to begin with. Speaking. Remember, he said in Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is when they were initially filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues or with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:4. That's one of the times in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Spirit, and it specifically mentions they spoke with tongues. Somebody said, well, I'm full, but I didn't speak. Well, you could have. And you should have. Maybe you weren't instructed on that. But anyway, so the initial filling came through speaking, and it was speaking in tongues. One time it says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. which is another element of speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, than tongues. But right on the other hand, if that's how you initially got filled, notice that's the same thing you're going to do to continue to be filled. Acts 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Spirit, speaking. Say out loud, speaking. Hallelujah. Say speaking. Let's put it this way. And notice what he says. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking. Now, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in our thinking, because we live, you know, in a different day than this was written, we think it just means out of the song book or out of a hymnal or something like that. But you got to realize back then they didn't have the printing press. They didn't have hymnals. Song books. At least they might have had some, but they didn't have everybody have a copy. Turn to hymn number 532. I could almost quote that one. I think that one was amazing. I don't remember. Amazing Grace or something. I mean, I sang that one so many times. In the Mennonite hymnal. I mean, you got to get the right hymnal now. I mean, you. I just remember 532 we went to a lot of times. But no, he's not talking about that. Notice he said, be filled speaking. So this is something that as a result of the Holy Spirit giving you this psalm, hymn, or spiritual song. This is not what you hear on the radio. This is not what the choir sings. Nothing wrong, per se, of which one on the radio, unless it's unscriptural. I don't, some things might sound like Christian, but they're unscriptural. But there's nothing wrong with that, per se. But that's not what this is. We want to be word people and have a Bible experience, don't you? I want to be a word person and experience the Bible. So what he's talking about here is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And he's talking about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. So this is a praise to God. It's singing to God, and it is singing under inspiration of the Spirit. It's not singing a song that is somebody else wrote and we're all singing it because the words are up there. Now, maybe what was put up here on the song, maybe the words up here were some, at one point, somebody got it by the Spirit and was sung and it's got an anointing on it. You know, there are songs that are written that we all sing and still got an anointing on it. Somebody got it from the Spirit. I heard a man one time, he said, be careful when you say you got a song from the Lord. He said, because we might hear it and think, well, the reason he gave it to you is because he didn't want it. You know, because some people say, I got this song from the Lord, and it's not scriptural, it's not edifying, it's not inspired, there's no anointing on it. Amen. Amen. Some things just came from between somebody's ears, you know, their own thinking. Amen. Well, so the true New Testament praise and worship is what is referred to right here. Now that doesn't mean there's not a place for doing what we did here at the beginning of the service. I mean, we do that and the anointing falls, doesn't it, sometimes? These things are inspired, the anointing can bless that. But yet, right on the other hand, that's not what this is talking about per se. That might have a place, you know, what we do at the beginning of the service have a place, but there's another level of this that if we'll learn to practice this, the anointing will get even stronger. And it'll be a doorway into a greater move of the Spirit. And I'm interested in that. If you're interested in that, you're in the right church. Amen. So really, if you study the New Testament, the plan of God for the New Testament believer is that we be, that we live, that we sing, worship, that we pray, that we do what we do in the Spirit. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, not everybody had the Holy Ghost on them. Some did, king and maybe the prophet, or the prophet, I mean, did, and the king and so forth, priest. I mean, you know. So there was anointings on people for certain people for service, but not everybody had the Holy Ghost on them. That will fix a lot of modern day error where people go to the prophet to get direction. Somebody said, well, they went in the Old Testament to get direction. Yeah, but we're not living under the Old Covenant. Why did they go to the prophet to get direction back then? Because they didn't have not everybody had the Holy Ghost back then. Today we do. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're a child of God, you have the leader, the guide, right on the inside of you. And you don't need somebody to tell you by a prophecy what to do. In fact, I'd be honest with you. If somebody prophesies something to you and it doesn't sit right with your spirit, go with your spirit, not what they prophesied. Even if it's me. Amen. Everything, all prophecy should be judged by the Scriptures and judged by the inner witness. But he's talking here about God's plan for us as New Testament believers now. We all have the Holy Ghost, and some of us have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if we'll yield to the Spirit of God within us, he'll give us these songs. These are edifying songs. They're really the church's drinking songs. Amen. And you don't need to wait till Friday night after work to drink, you know. Now you say, I didn't think this church believed in drinking, not alcohol, but we do believe in drinking of the Spirit. And just getting, you know, I've had a hard week. I think I need to drink my problems away. Well, go ahead and drink your fill. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I didn't like who got inaugurated today. Well, drink your fill. Just don't let it get to you. You got to stay full. Hallelujah. So God's plan for us in the New Testament is that we worship in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. You remember that? Worship in spirit and in truth. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. To worship in spirit, you have to worship by the anointing of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are inspired by the Spirit. They're songs given inspired by the Spirit, and they'll bring the anoint. They'll bring the anointing down on you, or bring the anointing up out of you, and splash all over you, and build you up, and get you over whatever you've been struggling with. They'll just get you happy. I found out it's good for what ails you. Amen. I've been going through a hard place in life. Well, these are really, if you read the Psalms in the Old Testament, for example, Psalmist David, there's 150 Psalms back there. He got all those by inspiration of the Spirit. You ever notice how much they bless you and me? We're going through something and we can read one of those Psalms like, oh my goodness, that just blesses me because that's exactly what I'm going through. See, they were inspired by the Spirit. And they bless us even today. But that's not just for Old Testament. He had the anointing with David had the anointing on him. He stood in, actually, you read the Bible. He stood in the office of prophet and king and maybe priest, too. But the point is, he had the Holy Ghost and yielded to these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we've got a record of all those, and they'll bless us. But I'll tell you what will even bless you more is getting one hot off the wire of heaven for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So this is a life, this is how you stay full of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people think it's a faith issue, and really it's an emptiness issue. That what they're dealing with is just because they're empty. You know, if you're low, you're so low that every bump in the road, your chin hits it. You need to be edified. I can tell whenever just a little wee thing somebody does is irritating me. It's like, oh, I'm empty, aren't I? I better watch this now. Amen. I see Dawn laughing, Tim. Does that have anything to do with you and her? Anyway. Amen. Whoa, glory. I mean, when you're... I like what somebody said one time. They said they got drunk. They were in a service where the Spirit of God was moving. They got drunk and they looked at their wife and they said, "You look better already." Amen. You know it's true. Just fess up. Amen. It helps you to get full because you don't get into strife. And in fact, all the strife you had before you got to church, now it looks funny. Silly and immature, and you're just glad you got over that. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I don't know who I'm preaching to. Just look straight ahead. Praise the Lord. One of the assignments God gave me recently, I've mentioned to you, is to train this church in the things of the Spirit. So we're doing all that tonight. We're training in the things of the Spirit. We're also training. I mean, we're talking about controlling our tongue. Amen. So, the things we're seeing here in Ephesians chapter number 5 are really revealing God's plan for the New Testament church. His plan is that we be continually filled. We've preached faith many times. Let's put our faith on this as well as the other things we're putting our faith on. And we'll talk to you a little bit about that, how to do that before we get through here tonight. And so that's God's plan for the New Testament believer. And this is his plan for New Testament praise and worship. He wants to be worshiped with inspired utterances. Did you get that? He wants to be worshiped with inspired utterances. Now, listen to this term, because this is something, Brother Hagin said it, because we can worship in tongues. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, it says we can pray with the Spirit, pray with the understanding also. Then it says we can sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. So we can sing with tongues in that case, in that setting. The in the Spirit means with tongues. And then inner understanding would be worshiping with the understanding. Could be just a song that somebody wrote that's got some anointing on it because it's in line with the Word. Or it could be in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because these aren't in tongues. These are in the known tongue. Somebody said, I know all this. Well, so do I, but this is blessing me. Pastor Nancy preached on this the other night. I'm like, we've got to pick that up right there. This is in a known tongue, in our case English, maybe Spanish, somebody knows Spanish, but we do it in a known tongue, but it's still not out of our head. It's still coming from the Spirit within our spirit. It's coming out of our heart. Now somebody said, well, how do I do that? Well, the same river that tongues flows from, the same place that tongues flows from is where this comes from. And you can, if you haven't been there before, to where you're speaking in English, or if you know Spanish, in inspired utterance in a known tongue, then just know this river is there. And it is a richer supply of edification than even tongues is. And it is another step into the flow of the Spirit. Say that out loud. Another step into the flow of the Spirit. Now, Pastor, are you talking about church services? Well, of course. But see, this is not just Paul's not talking here about church services. He's talking here about just all believers. I mean, in there, really, the place that you can utilize and should utilize this the most is in your private devotional life. This is a devotional blessing. First of all, that can splash over into church services. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a hymn, hath a tongue, hath a doctrine. In other words, why did they have it when they came to church? Because they were practicing in at home. Amen. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but are you practicing this at home? Well, I sing along with the radio. That's not what this is talking about. Not what this is talking about. Maybe I remember what they sang on Sunday, and I just start singing it in the house. Well, that's good. I'm not criticizing that. But that's not what this is talking about. This is a song given by the Spirit that you have never heard before, and God gave it to you hot off the wire of heaven. And it doesn't have to rhyme. It just has to be edifying. I sang one in the shower a couple mornings ago. I got almost drunk in the shower. And that's a little dangerous. You got to watch it, you know. Amen. Glory. Now, there's three kinds here. It mentions psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Isn't that right? Now, that doesn't necessarily, somebody said, well, is this a psalm? What is this that I'm singing? Is this a hymn? It doesn't really matter. Just sing it out. Just sing it out. But just for a little bit of understanding, a psalm is a spiritual poem or an ode. It may or may not rhyme, but it has an element of poetry. If you're not given to music, you might not sing, you might just quote it. I've heard some of it, you might want to quote it. Might just. Amen. That's all right. You can get edified. See, that's still speaking a divinely inspired utterance. That's the term I started giving you, Brother Hagin. I said Brother Hagin had that term. I started giving it a moment ago and never got to it. Divinely inspired utterances. That can include tongues, but it can include speaking in English, if you're an English speaker. Speaking in English under inspiration of the Spirit in a tongue you know. But it's still not coming out of your mind. The source of this is the greater one on the inside. The Holy Spirit is the one giving you the utterance. Just like when you spoke with tongues, he gave you utterance, but you had to speak it out. This is another level of the same flow. It's just in English or a known language rather than tongues. It's another level of faith. And it's another level of inspiration, another level of edification than tongues. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, the way I see it so many times, it's like a stair steps. Down here's where you're speaking in tongues. Maybe this is you spoke in tongues and then you interpreted what you spoke in tongues. And then maybe you even get in the flow even better as you start interpreting and you finish the interpretation. Then you might keep on going by inspiration of the spirit of prophecy, speaking in a known tongue beyond that interpretation. Amen. And a lot of times in my experience, in fact, that's why I'm sharing on this tonight, is because my experience, whenever I get into this, a lot of times yielding to this gets me into revelation gifts. And I start seeing things while I'm speaking out of my spirit. And then I'll just start saying what I'm seeing. You can do that for your own life to get the plan of God for your own life. Well, I don't know what to do. Edify yourself. Build yourself up and just yield to the Holy Ghost. And you, and not that you're just trying, okay, I'm going to speak my answer. You're not trying. This is not something you try or you push. You just yield. And as you yield, right, while you're just edifying and yielding, while you're talking, you'll start realizing, I'm speaking my answer right out of my mouth. And tears might stream down the side of your face. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That was in there the whole time. How many of you know the Bible said counsel is in the heart of a man like deep waters? A man of understanding will draw it out. It's in there. There's a lot of answers in there, a lot of help in there. I know what some of you are going through, and you need to realize that the answers are not hard. They're real close. They're just 18 inches from your nose. But your job is to unhook your mind from the figuring, the calculating, the, you know, why and what and where and why is this happening to me and all of that. And just start drawing up the greater one on the inside. Oh, I've gotten this. This has gotten me through some of the hardest tests in my life. I told you about before we came here. I literally started having the thoughts, I must be about ready to lose my mind. The pressure of the enemy against my thought life. And the relief I found, I know a lot more now about this than I did back then. But the relief I found was getting in the prayer time, my prayer times, and then the nighttime. Because the nighttime I'd wake up and these thoughts would be bombarding my head. Is unhooking from those thoughts and start drawing up what's down here. And edify. I might just start out speaking in tongues. I might just start out quoting the word to myself to get my attention off of what he's talking to me in my mind about. But invariably, I got beyond that over into this flow of inspiration of the Spirit speaking in a known tongue. And there were many times I'd get to that place and it was the anointing, would just flood over me and put me into such a deep sleep. And I'd wake up so refreshed and got such answers and was able to hold on to what the Spirit said that night before for that day. You know, and just hold fast to it because it was my answer. Amen. Oh, I can't stress to you enough how important this is for you to learn this flow. Amen. Now, this is the doorway into all the other things of the Spirit. I found that out. If this is God's plan for New Testament believers, remember, let's back up. Let's back up and notice this verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine in these verses we just quoted. So he prefaced the verses we quoted, verses 18 and 19, he prefaced it by saying, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, there's two things going on here. Number one, he's saying this is what the will of the Lord is. This is God's plan and his will for every New Testament believer, is that they be continually filled with the Holy Ghost and get refreshed, get edified, and have fellowship with God in the Spirit by this means. Can you say amen? And be not unwise, but understanding with the will. This is the will of the Lord. But also, I think you could say this. He's saying, if you will yield to this by speaking in these divinely inspired utterances, that and that's your tongue. Tell your neighbor. That's what this series is about. It's about the tongue. Yielding your tongue to these divinely inspired utterances. When you don't know what to do, when your thoughts are racing like crazy, yield your tongue to the greater one on the inside. If it starts out in tongues, if it starts out quoting scriptures, if it starts out just singing a song that comes up out of your heart that we all sing here or something like that, fine. But keep yielding until you get over into this flow. And he's basically saying that's the will of God for every New Testament believer. And as they practice the will, the general will of God, and yield to this, they'll get the specifics of the will of God out of their own mouth. Or while you're speaking, you'll just know on the inside, I got my answer. I know what I'm going to do. I know what the will of the Lord is specifically. Hallelujah. And it'll come like it might be a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Or it could even be discerning of spirits. Sometimes God can reveal some plan he has for a person by, you know, angels or Jesus himself appearing. Amen. We're in the New Testament. We're open for God to move like he wants to move. Praise the Lord. So, this is very, very key. And I think we ought to emphasize, if this is God's plan, we ought to emphasize this. Tell your neighbor, we ought to emphasize this. That's the emphasis in the New Testament, that we be continually filled, that we do what we do in the Spirit. That we worship in the Spirit, that we pray in the Spirit, that we minister in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. All that we do in the Spirit. And this is the doorway into all of that. Can you say amen? The previous generations of Pentecostals that went before us, they knew something about what we're talking about. Amen. But I must say, this generation is in danger of losing these things. Amen. I think part of the reason is some of them, I'm not speaking for everybody, you know, that'd be an unfair characteristic, but some of them are not interested. Their life, even as a Christian, their lives are really more of a natural life. They want to live out of their minds. And they've not drawn up anything out of their spirit for a long time. If they were ever baptized in the Holy Ghost, sometimes there's a percentage of the people, the percentage of the body of Christ is baptized in the Holy Ghost. And of the ones who are baptized in the Holy Ghost, a huge majority of those spoke in tongues once or just maybe a couple of times and never again after that. That's the reason for where their life went. I came out of a Holy Ghost revival in my high school, and I think, what was it, two-thirds? I forget. What did I say? two-thirds of the class or something like that was filled with the Holy Spirit by the time I graduated. And but you heard Miss Weiser's letter. The teacher that helped fund underground lead that revival, push the books and get us filled, and you know. You heard the letter she wrote. I read some of it. She said, I just wish many of them would have kept on walking in the light of what they got. Because a lot of them didn't keep walking in the light of it. Amen. Well, by not walking in the light, they're a part of propagating darkness. And there's many, many people, more in the body of Christ today than there was even just 30 years ago, that don't really want to speak in tongues or don't want to even hear anything about it. Or, you know what I'm talking about? That's not the will of the Lord. I said, that's not the will of the Lord. God's will is they go on and progress spiritually. Go on further in, deeper into the things of the Spirit. This is only the doorway in. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, that's only the doorway in. If I say, here, I want to give you this house, be blessed, here's the keys, we'll pay the mortgage or it's paid off or whatever, and you say, oh my goodness, this is wonderful, and you get the keys and you go in and you close the door and you spend the rest of that day just standing up against that door you just closed. How many of you know there's a lot more in that house for you to enjoy? A lot more in there for you to have than what you're experiencing just standing by the door. The refrigerator's full. The bed's warm. The shower will refresh you, you know. There's a lot of places. There's a couch to sit on. There's a place to prop up your feet. And come on now. There's all these rooms in the Spirit that it's God's will that we go on into these rooms and receive everything that's in there for us. Pastor, I've never had any of these revelation gifts like you've said. Well, it's not just for preachers. I've never had a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom about His plan for my life. This isn't just for preachers. Well, I guess if the Spirit willed, He'd give me a song. Did it say anything in Ephesians 5 about as the Spirit wills? This is where we misunderstood this. It didn't say in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3:16 is the sister verse to it. You can go over there and see it's almost the same language, except it says speaking to one another. These verses don't say as the Spirit wills. If you've been waiting for the Spirit to will this, you're waiting on Him and He's waiting on you. How many of you know if you're playing a game of checkers and somebody thinks you've not moved yet and they're waiting on you, but you moved and they didn't see, you're waiting on them. And guess what's happening? Nothing's happening. And if nothing's happening, it's because the Spirit is waiting on you to follow these biblical instructions. Well, I just don't know what to do. Follow these instructions. This is the will of God. You can't miss it being in the will of God. Yeah, but I don't know what to do. But this is the doorway into further things like revelation, what to do. Yeah, but I'm not a prophet. I can't prophesy. No, this is not the office of the prophet. This is the simple gift of prophecy. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I know we know some of these things, but it's important that we not... Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, not just having heard. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse number 26. It says, when you come together, brethren, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Notice most of that is utterances, except revelation and a doctrine. But psalm, a tongue, and interpretation, that's all utterances. And he said, when you come together, every one of you got one. Then notice chapter number 14, verse number, let's go up to 31. For you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. He said right here tonight, all of us could prophesy. Maybe we ought to start calling on people. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Except fear just hit the room, so we won't do that. Now, prophecy doesn't mean predicting, you know, the future or something like that. That's a revelation gift that can come as you get on over into the Spirit. But notice, go back here to the 14th chapter, verse number 3. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Isn't that right? So prophesying is edifying the church. Excuse me. Verse number 3 is where I wanted to get to. 14:3. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, the gift of prophecy is not the office of the prophet. The prophet has revelation gifts in his ministry, and he has the gift of prophecy as well, and he'll prophesy and speak out revelations. But the simple gift of prophecy, he's saying all of us can do that. And it doesn't include, none of those edification, exhortation, and comfort, none of those include or have anything to do with revelation coming forth or prophesying or predicting the future or anything like that or any kind of revelation. It's just simply speaking under inspiration of the Spirit by the Spirit of prophecy. It's speaking unto men, and in Ephesians, it's unto yourself, speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. You're not predicting the future. Now, like I said, you can yield to this, and then God can give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. But it starts out just simply edifying yourself, building up yourself. The word edify in the Hebrew means, or the Greek means, to build up. To charge up like a battery. Amen. And guess what? You don't need to have any outside, reason to be edified. Your edification is right under your nose. It's what you say. Yielding your tongue to these divinely inspired utterances. Are you getting anything out of this? I know sometimes I think, well, Pastor, you're dealing with me, Lord, to say all this, and I've already shared all this, and the Lord says, well, say it again. You know, Brother Smith Wigglesworth, because I said this is the doorway into all the other things of the Spirit, Smith Wigglesworth had tremendous manifestations of the power gifts in his ministry. But he himself told us why, is because he spent much time speaking in tongues, and he worshiped God in the Spirit. Amen. And he had, most people say, 21 people raised from the dead. Well, what was the key to that kind of power? He stayed edified. Amen. There are people that have healing, gifts of healings operating in their life because they have the gift of healing. Now you say, I thought nobody had it. Well, ministers can have a gift of healing. And I don't have time to get into that. But then there are people that don't have the gift of healing or that gift in operation in their life, but they stay edified. And so these things are constantly manifesting. Now, if you don't understand that, just put it on the shelf. But there's two reasons people flow in things of the Spirit. Some flow in it because they have the gift, and others flow in it because they stay full. Amen. God termed the first set of deacons. They had 7 deacons in Acts chapter number 6 that they laid hands on, set them apart to be, we'd call them helps ministers. One of them was Stephen. And it said Stephen stayed full of faith and power. He was full of the Holy Ghost. It mentioned 3 times there. He's full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost. And then it kept saying he did great signs and wonders among the people. Why? Because he stayed full. That's why. It didn't say he had that gift. It said he stayed full. Just put it in. If you don't understand that, just don't throw it away. But it's true. I've watched ministers sometimes. They can play golf all afternoon and then come in and flow in gifts. And I make a mental note of them because that's not going to last forever. You know what I'm talking about? But see, they have that gift. Many ministers in the healing revival, they had gifts of healings in operation, but they didn't live full, and it cost them. Didn't live full of the Word, didn't live full of the Holy Ghost. In fact, it came out eventually that even one or two of them were drinkers, drunk, drank alcohol all the time. Well, that wasn't because they were full of the Holy Ghost that they had gifts of healings in operation. Nobody drinking alcohol all the time is full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you've got the real thing, you don't need the substitute. Amen. Amen. So it's all good. Tell your neighbor, pastor's preaching pretty good tonight. I just wanted to hear you edify me, build me up. All right. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? What are some of the purposes of this? Number one, it's for true fellowship with God. I'm talking about now this back to Psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. These things are given for true fellowship with God. You can edify yourself and not just intellectually try to fellowship with God, but your spirit is communing with the Father. It's like your spirit and the Holy Spirit are in union one with another, and you're fellowshipping with Him in ways you weren't fellowshipping with Him before that. It's like you're blended together, and whatever He speaks, comes into your spirit and you speak it out of your mouth. It's like a union there that's much more intimate than you were flowing in. Are you with me? And so, and then second of all, it's a means of being continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And then another benefit of this is separation from the world. It's hard to live full and keep yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost and speaking under inspiration of the Spirit and then go cuss somebody out. When you've been yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit, it's hard to yield like that and then go get into strife with somebody or argue and live that kind of in that kind of flow. Just look behind you. Maybe they're back there that's needing that. Then fourth of all, it's a means of receiving answers in times of need. Amen. That's a whole lesson in and of itself. Pastor Nancy did a wonderful job on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday night on that? You ought to listen to that again. Amen. So, this is available for every one of us. And it's God's plan for every one of us. And He wants you and I to fellowship with Him on this level. It's like you're coming onto His level. Rather than trying to get Him to come down to our level, we're coming up to His level. And communing with Him heart to heart, spirit to spirit. And when we're worshiping Him, we're doing it in spirit and in truth. And there have been many times that I didn't want to interrupt the flow in order to turn on my little phone recorder or something, but I wish I'd have had that recorded. Because I don't remember it afterward. It didn't come out of my mind. It came out of my spirit. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't have to always rhyme. And it doesn't have to always be melodious. You know? Amen. So number one, a hymn. Psalms. A psalm is a spiritual poem or an ode. A hymn is a song of praise or an anthem. It has like an anthem aspect to it. That it's like an anthem that is directed in worship towards God. I would say most of what I flow in is that right there, hymns. I don't know why. It just kind of, that's the way it flows out of me. And then the third one, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs is a song of revelation of the Word that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit gave you. I don't know if you've ever followed Brother Keith Moore's ministry. A lot of those songs that he got, He gets up and just sings the sermon. It's a song that has the revelation in it that was in that sermon. Amen. And it has much revelation, and I believe that's mostly spiritual songs. I think there's other things there at times too. Praise the Lord. But they are all given by inspiration of the Spirit. In a moment of time, there's not something you thought up. It just drops. It comes. Amen. And you've got to speak it out with your mouth. You have to use your faith to hook your tongue up to your spirit and begin to speak those things out. Amen. And so they're all given by inspiration of the Spirit. It's not something you heard on the radio, not something you heard in church per se. And it's not something that somebody else sings for you. It's something you sing right out where you are. Now, if you want to practice where nobody else is around, maybe just practice it that way. And let me tell you how I got started in this. I got started by taking in Bible school. We'd go to class, and then I'd go to work afterwards. And I'd go to work just meditating on those verses, some of the verses that stood out to me in Bible school that day. And I'd just begin to, while I'm driving to work, I'd just begin to quote those verses. And as I quoted them, many times, it was like a handkerchief, one tied to another. As I'd pull that one verse back up out of my spirit, there was another one tied to it. So I'd just pull that one up, just speak that one out. Then there was another one tied to it. I'd just speak that one out, another one, just speak it out. And eventually, I got more and more into a flow of that, to where I actually moved from that over into inspired utterance, speaking things, all in line with the Word. How many of you know the Spirit and the Word agrees? But it's all in line with the Word, but it wasn't necessarily a verse per se. But it was revelation of the Word that a lot of times, to be honest with you, I didn't even put those verses together. I never saw that truth in line with this other truth that the Spirit just spoke and put together. And I got revelation out of it. Remember he said in Colossians, teaching and admonishing one another? I've had my own answers come out of the Word through the Holy Ghost, putting scriptures together in my own, building up myself, speaking in psalms and spiritual songs and utterances of the Spirit. I've had the Holy Ghost put verses together. It's like, that right there is my answer. It's like, I never put those two verses together before. Hallelujah. Let's explore this realm. What do you say? You know, in the great days of developing this nation, the explorers launched out beyond where the cities had been built. And they came all the way across the Mississippi here and went all the way. And they came back and told everybody what they found. But that's territory nobody had mapped out before. Nobody had, the Indians were here, but nobody had really, no civilization that mapped it all out and everything. And so they were explorers. There's things in the realm of the Spirit that are available to us, in fact, waiting on us to explore and move out into. Somebody said, I don't know anything about how to do this, Pastor. Well, just start speaking in tongues. Speaking more in tongues. And wherever that's coming from, if something comes up in English, speak it out. If it's a scripture, speak it out. If it's a song, maybe we learn, speak it out. But just keep yielding to what's coming out of your spirit. And eventually, it'll not be something you heard before, but it'll be in English. And you will have tapped into that flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It takes faith. In fact, I'll be honest with you, this is another level of faith. Speaking in tongues is one level. I mean, when you don't know what you're saying, it's not as much of a challenge to say it. But whenever your mind is involved, because it's coming from your spirit in prophecy, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, it's coming from your spirit, but it's got to come through your mind. Tongues, it can just totally bypass your mind. But in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, it's coming through your mind. So it's another level to keep your tongue hooked to your spirit, but let it flow through your mind. Takes more faith. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. But you can build up your faith, yielding to that flow. You can build up your faith by yielding your tongue in tongues, speaking in tongues. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, it's the same flow. It's from your spirit out your mouth, except this one's coming through, you know, psalms and spiritual song, from your spirit through your mind out your mouth. But yet, right on the other hand, it's still that pulling it out of your spirit. And if you can develop faith to pull things out of your spirit, eventually you'll get into pulling out things that were in there. Yeah, I mean, revelation, knowledge, gifts of healings and things like that. You're in the grocery store or something like that. Hallelujah. And you'll be like Stephen, full of faith and power, doing signs and wonders. I think a lot of people are waiting on God. Well, this era, we're waiting on God to move in this era, and He's waiting on us to respond to this, to respond to Ephesians chapter number 5 and Colossians chapter number 3. Because this will get us into these things. Hallelujah. Every one of us can do this. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, did you see what it said in verse 31? You may all prophesy. Underline that. Verse 26, when you come together, every one of you hath. So every one of us can do this. Well, pastor, in church, am I supposed to be yielding to this in church? I would say this. Most of us, it's going to be mostly in our own devotional life. But we might come into church. We might come in some night and say, all right, the Holy Ghost wants to demonstrate some things. I'm staying home that night, pastor. Well, amen. No, you just want to get in this flow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's the purpose? It's an edification thing. It's true communication with God, right? It's a means of separation from the world and to receive even your own answers out of your own mouth. Praise God. Now, can I just say this as we wrap this up? This is the doorway into greater manifestations in our lives personally and at our church. Amen. Yielding to the Spirit in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is you and I going on in the Spirit. Say out loud, we're going on in the Spirit. In other words, as we yield to this flow, God will move us on and we'll come into other rooms of the Spirit where there's other spiritual manifestations, other equipment there for other ways the Spirit of God wants to move in our midst, even power gifts, to be honest with you. It might take a little while for you and I to make a shift in this. Maybe our devotional time consists of feeding on the Word. That's part of our devotions. We understand that. And consists of maybe just some prayer, talking to God about some things. But this needs to be brought into this. This aspect should be a part of our devotional life, where we just worship Him out of our spirit and even sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to Him. Amen. And keep yielding to that until it gets us into some other places in the Spirit. You might sing out your own answer. You might sing out a word of knowledge. You might sing out something concerning His plan for your life. In fact, to be honest with you, a lot of times yielding to this, I start seeing what's coming for my life or ministry or something, an answer for a decision or something like that. Hallelujah. And then when it's all over, write that down. It might seem totally impossible. I don't know how that could ever happen. But see, this is not of man, this is of God, and with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. So let's explore this territory. What do you say? Let's become acquainted with this ground. Let's become the mappers. Like, you know, Lewis and Clark, when it came across the Mississippi and we're mapping everything out. Let's become the mappers. And let's learn this flow so well that whenever we sense that anointing, we go with it and others can see the demonstration of how it works and say, ah, now I know how to navigate that stream. Now I know how to get into that flow. Hallelujah. 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 This is the arena of God's will that He wants to move in. Amen. And it'll take us to some other streams. You know, whenever whatever rivers are here, you know, the Wapsa Pentagon up where we live and Cedar River here, you follow these back upstream and there's just a little creek that it starts, you know, but you follow that, get in a canoe or something, follow that all the way down and come down here to the Cedar. You follow the Cedar, it come down in. Does the Wapsa and Cedar meet? I don't know if they, but then they go into the Mississippi. And you know, that's a bigger flow. Isn't that right? And if we'll get into this flow, it might seem like a little tributary of some kind. We stay on that, and before we know it, we'll hit a deeper flow. We'll be like, oh, I didn't know how to get into this, but I just got in that other flow, and it brought me right into this deeper flow. And that's what I'm hungry for, a greater flow of the Spirit, aren't you? Hallelujah. Now, this is a means of getting into some things that confession won't get us into. Songs we sing in the service are good. Confession is good, but neither of those will get us into it. Prayer alone won't get us into it. Amen. Singing songs along with the radio won't get us into it. You realize all of those things might have a place, especially if they're scriptural. Some songs aren't scriptural. But the only way we're going to get into what God's real plan really is for the move of the Spirit is that we start yielding to this. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor, how do I start? You start by using your faith to unhook your tongue from your mind. I said, you got to get your tongue unhooked from your mind. Most people's tongue is hooked to their mind most of the time. Amen. But the first thing to get into this flow is unhook your tongue from your mind and hook it up to your spirit. You say, what on earth are you talking about? Your spirit is, the Bible said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of the belly. Your spirit man, the real man, lives on the inside of this body. He looks through those windows you call eyes, is the man that's going to live forever, go to be with heaven, and has eternal life right now if you're born again. And the Holy Ghost dwells in there, and that's where your spirit is called the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in there is where this utterance comes from. And so if you'll unhook your tongue, practice this. Make this a regular practice of setting everything else aside, all your thoughts, everything you've got to do, everything you got to remember today, and all of that. In fact, one thing I do to get into this flow and is if something comes to my mind, I got to remember to do this today, I just write it down real quick so I don't have to sit there and try to remember it because I want to get out of my mind right now. Somebody said, you're out of your mind. Yeah, thank you. That's what I've been trying to do is get out of my mind. and learn, practice that because you get good at what you practice. There are people that were baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues at one point of their life, who today don't believe that they can ever speak with tongues again because it's been so long. All their talking since has been out of their mind or out of their flesh. And they've not hooked their tongue to their spirit for so long, they don't believe they can do it again. But listen, the greater one still lives on the inside of you. He still lives on the inside of you. And if you can get your tongue unhooked and hooked down into there, things will start bubbling up, flowing up, answers will start coming. You're going, why wasn't I living this way? Because it's so refreshing. Amen. Stand with me to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we doers of the word? If you want to practice on your own, there's your place to practice. If it doesn't rhyme, don't get all beat up about it. Amen. Some of these poems don't really psalms, for example, they don't really rhyme anyway. Amen. But they have a flow, and they have like a poetry to it, or a cadence to it, or something like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we doers of the word? Are you interested?
Yes.
Over here, are you interested?
Yes.
I'm interested. I tell you, it pays off when you hit that bigger river. You're like, whoa! Now I don't need to go to church and have somebody lay hands on me to get edified. I hit a gusher myself. This is when you learn to draw out of your own spirit and get your own answers. And life, there's something that happens inside of you, that something happens to your faith when you realize that was living on the inside of me the whole time. Whatever gusher you hit, whatever answer you got, whatever flow you got into, you realize, I can do that anytime I want. And that's been living on the inside of me the whole time. It just does something to you. It weans you off of needing to be like a needy person on somebody else all the time. You know, baby Christians, we need to help them to begin with. But as we grow, we ought to be weaned off of everybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I would just I would just see what they got, but it just doesn't seem like that's there tonight. So we'll just keep digging around in this a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm a doer of what I heard tonight. Amen. In fact, let's do this. Between now and Sunday, let's practice drawing out of our spirit every day for at least 10 minutes. You want to do that? Now, I know that somebody said, well, you're putting legalism on us. No, you can do this. Notice he didn't say as the Spirit wills in Ephesians. Get your Bible. I want you to see something. Go to Romans chapter number 12. I think this would be a verse we need to give you before you go. Because this is by the spirit of prophecy, right? Romans 12. Notice something about Romans 12. Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. What? As the Spirit wills. According to the proportion of faith. Huh? We got to re-examine these utterance gifts. Because in our personal, private, devotional life, now there's a use of these where there's a public utterance. But what we're talking about is mostly the personal, private, devotional life. In that area, it's not as the Spirit wills. It's as you have the faith to yield to it. Some of these other things that are as the Spirit wills, this is the doorway into those other things. Amen. So let's just say, I'm going to use my faith to yield to this every day for 10 minutes. Be nothing wrong with that. Amen. And let's go for, let's do this for till Sunday, and let's just see what kind of testimonies we have. Praise God.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Merciful and kind, loving all the time. Oh, great, great, great are you, Lord. I got the words. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great, 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 greater than my mind. Healing is here. Healing is here. Because great, great are you, Lord. Shinani ani oni she. Healing is here. So I say, just move your arm right now and say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. What you could not do, do it now. Just move it now. Just bend your knees. Just bend your knees down and say, I'm healed and I'm free. Because great, 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 great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Healing power. Revival in this very hour. Free from oppression. Oh, that's me. So free. Renewed in His word. Blessed in what I've heard. Oh, great, great. great, great, great is this revival coming in this time. Great is this revival, so very sublime. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great, say great are you, Lord. Oh, revival is here. People getting saved. Oh, hearing the word of God and changing, changing, changing. Great are you, great are you, great are you than any man can be. Great are you, great is the anointing falling, falling. Great, oh, we live in great times now. It's not about a man, it's about a plan. It's about a plan. It's about a plan. Great are you, Lord. Say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Say, great, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, ni ma ni na ni shai ni ge. And just begin to speak in another tongue. Inanamasi, inanamasi. You can sing it out. Or you can just say pati ke koko ma siete de bosa kiete shimani no ni na ni great are you, Lord. Great is your plan in this land. Revival, oh, in revival I stand. Great are you, great are you. Much more to come. The anointing with you, we are one, blended in the spirit of your word and faith. Oh, grace falling on us now. Grace falling on us now. Helimosine, strengthen me, oh God. Strengthen me, oh God. Oh, strengthen me, oh God. Oh, strengthen me in your revival. Restored in my mind. Restored in my mind. Healing, 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 healing. Oh, I'm so free. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Just step on into the river of His flow. Step on into to the know. Step on into the witness of the Spirit within you. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Healings, miracles divine. I see metal plates melting. Oh, I see it in time. I see it in time. I see it in time. Spirit time. I see it. I call it to us now. Healings, miracles, and how. Great are you, Lord. Hey. So lay down your fears. Lay down all your fears and say, Lord, great are you. Great are you. Great are you. Great are you. Oh, I want to stay in this vein. I don't want to get out. No, 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 no. So just pray in tongues and stay in this vein. Anytime, just begin to pray in tongues. Yield to the Spirit. Do what He says when you hear it. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Healing is here. That's how you walk. That's how you walk free from fear. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't stress enough. I know what some of you are going through, and I can't stress enough how important this is to you. Really, some of you, your sanity. You know what I mean by that? Just the pressure's coming against your mind. This is the way of escape. Isn't that good? There's a way out. There's a way out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you found the way out, you'd take it, right? I'm telling you, this is the way out. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Lay your hands on Miss Katie, honey. Thank you, Father, for strength and infusion of your power and your might into her body. Refreshing, anointing. Thank you, Father, to carry the term in Jesus' name. To finish in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Ooh, there it goes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that shot of your anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, we're learning the things of the Spirit. And we're doers of what we're learning. And we're being changed. Look at somebody and say, we're being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah.